All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marla Vittorello.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is what
Hello.
We
do.
Right. You know, it's been a crazy day so far, but we're here. We've got an awesome show and a fantastic guest, a premier attorney, and I'm excited about that. So how are you, Marla?
I'm good. It's, you know, it's very depressing that, you know, it's like the third day of summer.
Yeah.
And I have a cardigan, a turtleneck on, you know, pants. I look like I'm like getting ready for like.
You know, you say that, but in about, you know, 3 days, we're going to be wishing for, you know, it's going to be 98 degrees and then, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like this fake spring. We never got a spring. And then it's going to be, you know, right into summer. We're going to be blistering and then complaining it's too hot.
No question. Exactly. So, you know, on the East Coast, that's the way it is. We're, you know, here we are on the second or third day of summer, and obviously we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. We've got a fantastic show. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Abe Gelardi, principal founder of Gelardi Law. Abe, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well, thank you. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you fantastic.
Hi, Abe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today? How's that North Jersey weather looking up there?
Yeah, it's nice today. It's a little dreary, kind of.
Is it raining?
We're raining here in Philly.
No rain. Right. Well, no rain.
It's always raining in Philly.
It is. By the way. And certainly, but it's always sunny in the studio, especially when we have Marla and a fantastic guest.
It's
always sunny in Philadelphia. Have you seen the show?
Yeah, we have to see. It's a little deceiving, Abe. Just a little bit.
We had an interesting morning this morning, Abe. Yeah.
Listen, I'm gonna be calling my auto dealer, and he happens to be my best friend. And he was calling me earlier. I just sent him a text. He's not calling me now.
Ex-best friend. Now.
Yeah, my ex-best friend. It's all the way to high school. And guess what? We're done. Just kidding, but darn.
So, Joe, you know, that's the most unfortunate thing. When you go out to your car, you have to be somewhere important, okay? You have to be live on the air. You go to turn your car on, and it just was like, wah, 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 and you're done. We've all had that happen to us.
It's the second time it's happened, but we knew we had a great show. We knew we had a fantastic guest.
Yeah.
Hell or High Water was the theme.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
You said you have a fantastic guest. Who else is joining us?
No. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. You are, and I was doing
my. Listen, I built you up a lot, Abe. All right. I knew you would deliver.
No.
By the way, I got a chance to drive in Marla's new car.
Nice.
A Maserati. You never know. You never know, Abe. I might have just faked that car thing. I'm not sure. But
listen, you definitely had me driving through. The hills of Italy. This is the first time
East Falls.
This little Maserati drove up a hill of that size. I could not believe
it. You switch one button and the darn thing purrs. I was like,
wow.
That's, you know. But having said that, if you would, Abe, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Well, as you already mentioned, my name is Abe Gelardi. Founder of Gelardi & Associates, which is mainly a personal injury, real estate, and criminal firm. I started the practice right out of law school. I didn't know what I was doing. I had on-the-job training, and little by little, over time, I learned everything that I needed to know, and I realized I know as much as any other attorney that had any experience. And the practice of law is basically practice and research. And that's what we do.
And trial and error, right?
Nice little, that's it. Hopefully.
Hopefully not hopefully any
not
errors.
Not too many errors.
But you know what's interesting? Man, that is a gutsy thing to do. Start a practice right out of law school. You know, I'm sure. And how long, if you don't mind me asking, how long ago was it?
That was now going on, I believe, 25 years.
Okay. So you have a massively successful firm. You've done an incredible job for 25 years. I wonder how many people can say that they started a firm right out of law school And 6 to 8 months later, can even still say they have that firm. You have, you know, done something in a sense almost unprecedented. And I've heard this many times, but they don't teach the business of law in law school, do they?
Absolutely not. They almost don't even teach how to practice law. You know, you learn a lot of different things. None of it is what you actually practice on a day-to-day basis. You haven't been in a courtroom until you're in a courtroom. That's just the way it is.
And it's amazing. What inspired you to do that right off the bat? Because it's, I've heard, you know, and I know you, I'm sure you have, many times seasoned long, you know, attorneys that, you know, practice 20 years, we're going to start their own firm, left a big successful firm, went to do their own thing and turned around and went back because it was so scary. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to do it right off the bat?
I never wanted to work for anybody. I didn't want to work for a firm. I didn't want to be, you know, under somebody else's time constraints. I enjoy my own time. I wanted to be my own boss. But more importantly, I do have to give credit to where credit is due. So my two older sisters were attorneys already.
Oh.
So I felt like nice. Me going on my own immediately, I kind of had support if I stumbled. I kind of had somebody to always talk to and ask questions. I didn't join their practices or anything like that. I just opened my own practice and I started doing actually a different area of law than they did. So I think that's what kind of gave me without being crude on the radio.
You could be crude.
You know? Well, no, you can't.
You're hanging out with us today.
We're live. Normally, if we were pre-recording, I'd say go for it. But
you should see all the sweat that drips out over here. They always worry every time I open up my mouth. They're like, oh, crap.
No. I just felt like I had, you know, I had a backup. I had somebody that I could lean on if anything, you know, happened, went wrong. I want to be my own boss. I've never had a job. I actually used to work for my dad. He owned a supermarket back in the day. So when I was young, 15, but I've never had a job at a law office. I never clerked. I never internship. I didn't have an internship. I didn't nothing or any other job. I never had a resume. So I'm happy not to have a resume.
Do you have any regrets on that? That's what I was actually going to ask you. Do you wish that you had some of that different experience from just a different point of view?
Because, you know what?
Or at least did you at the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, now I know you don't. You're very successful.
I'm going to say no, I had no regrets. I'm glad I never worked for anybody. I hear stories. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a tattoo that says no regrets.
That's fun. That's a great...
Yeah,
I mean it's a great example. But you mentioned, I'll tell you though. I mean I'm getting a vision of you know the opportunity when you know you had the opportunity obviously to seek knowledge and you know at least have mentors and great talent around you. You know can you talk about that? I'm assuming that you know with the family, your family, and by the way, the firm is a family affair. Can you talk about, you know, who inspired you and who mentored you?
Like I said, my two older sisters, they were attorneys. Awesome. And, you know, it was basically following in their footsteps. Although I gotta tell you, the funny thing is initially I was, you know, a baseball player in grammar school, high school, and I went to college to play baseball. I got hurt immediately before the freshman year even started.
Wow.
And I got hurt actually on my pitching hand, not even playing baseball. Decided to play a little pickup basketball game.
Wow.
And that was that. So, which was great because I was not going to amount to anything, I'm pretty sure. So then
sure
I started focusing on
the law.
Yes. Initially, I studied accounting, something to fall back on in case, you know, I was always realistic. What if I don't like law school? What if I don't make it through law school? What if, you know? So I studied accounting, and initially I used to make fun of my sisters because they both only practiced personal injury, and I would tell them, Oh, you're not real lawyers. Personal injury lawyers are not real lawyers. I'm going to be a tax accountant. And then I took my first tax class, and I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. Then I'm like, well, I like sports. I'm going to be a entertainment lawyer or a sports agent or something after I get my law degree. And then I realized, oh, no, I'm not. I need to work for somebody for 155 years for anybody to know me, for then me to pull a Jerry Maguire and, you know, pull one client or something. That wasn't going to happen. So here I am as a personal injury attorney that I used to make fun of my sisters for, you know, not really practicing.
But you know what's interesting about that, though? You know, because personal injury attorneys, one of the things that is so fantastic is the contingency fee agreement and the fact that individuals who get injured, catastrophically injured, through no fault of their own, and are, you know, often, you know, injured for the rest of their life and have no, they cannot defend themselves or cannot represent themselves. The contingency fee agreement provides the opportunity for them to retain an attorney like yourself without out-of-pocket cost, which to me is one of the great things about it, and in a sense, in my opinion, makes individuals like yourself a hero, because otherwise these individuals would have no way to represent themselves. Talk about that.
Well, absolutely. It is fantastic because a lot of these injured parties obviously have no money to pay an attorney up front, so these contingency fees work out great. No money out of pocket. Both parties are happy once the case is done. And more often than not, obviously you're injured, you can't go to work. You can't go to work, you can't collect any salary. So when you can't collect salary, how are you going to afford? So it's kind of like a catch-22. So this works out fantastic for everyone. And like I said, both sides are happy. I hate hourly billing for, and I know that's the bulk of attorneys have to do hourly billing, but I hate it because neither side is happy. Mm-hmm. You know, the attorney is charging. Sometimes they get paid, sometimes they don't. And the client always thinks, well, what are they charging me for? Why so many hours? They can go to court. You know, oftentimes clients think the only time an attorney's working is when they're in court. Obviously, that's not the case. Right. That's very, very little time. But it's great. And like I said earlier, where I used to think my sisters weren't real attorneys by doing personal injury. Oh, full circle.
Right.
We help so many families and people that have had
catastrophic injuries.
No, I was getting another call.
That's okay.
Started distracting me, and I didn't want to distract anything on the air.
That's okay.
Where you help the families, where, you know, somebody ends up in a wheelchair and now they're the breadwinner and they're not going to be able to support the family and they have kids and whatnot. It's happened numerous times. And when you get them a nice settlement, you know, you just see it's never going to bring them back to 100%, but it helps.
Yeah,
it helps.
Sure. And I think the biggest thing with that, Abe, not to interject right there, but, you know, I think the hardest part in personal injury is that it's unexpected, right? I mean, you know, nobody gets in their car to go to work or even turn their car on like Joe D. Dad today. But I'm saying, you know, God forbid, to get in a car accident or to, you know, be injured at work or something that's very catastrophic or even, you know, less catastrophic but still impacts your life, it's unexpected. So you guys kind of come in and reorganize what's happening, that chaos in that person's life, and sort of streamline, you know, medical care, revenue, and, you know, making sure that they're taken care of. And it's noble of you guys to do it on a contingency fee, because just kind of getting back to that, you know, hourly rate, I didn't want to interrupt you while you were talking, but a lot of people argue on that hourly rate because, you know, if you pick up the phone and you have like a 15-minute discussion with your attorney, maybe all your questions were answered, maybe not. Then you get, you know, $350, $400, $500 bill, and you start analyzing like what that is worth. And I think that no matter how many hours you put into a case, sometimes you're going to win, you know, in that regard. Like, is, you know, hopefully you win all your cases. That's, I'm just talking about, you know, maybe it took you less time on a case and you know, recovered more money for that person. And then there's other times where you put so many hours in and maybe didn't get the recovery that you were looking for. But, you know, it all evens out over time is what I'm saying, right? I mean,
yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
And that's why it's basically the attorney is taking a big gamble with contingency fee cases, but most of the time you're going to take a case that you know has some value. It's not going to be all the time. There are two sides, you know, the defense side, which also brings me back to why an injured party needs an attorney. These insurance companies are not on your side.
Right.
They're going to try and get over on you every step of the way. They're not your friend. So you do need an attorney, and to get the medical bills paid, to get a settlement that's fair, because, you know, insurance companies are not trying to be fair to you.
Well, it's interesting.
That's why they make a lot of money.
They don't mention that in the commercials, by the way, as you well know.
No.
You know, I like the way you say they're not on your side. That's a perfect way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about you know, vetting a case. You mentioned what are the components, key components in vetting a case? Because, you know, you guys, not only you're on a contingency fee basis, but you invest in the case, including when you're vetting it sometimes with getting experts and all those things. What are the key elements?
Well, the two main things are obviously liability and damages. Liability meaning when somebody's involved in a car accident or a slip and fall or any type of incident, it has to be not their own fault. It has to be the other party's fault. So, for instance, if I'm driving and I rear-end somebody, I really have no basis on suing. It was my fault. So that's the first thing, liability, somebody else's fault. And the second is damages. You have to sustain a permanent injury. What does a permanent injury mean? Well, a lot of things are permanent injuries. It doesn't necessarily have to be a broken bone or
dolphin
surgery or whatnot. There are other injuries that right after the incident and even thereafter, nobody can see. It's not clear to the naked eye, and that's why you go to doctors. That's why you go and do MRI testing. That's why you might have to do an EMG. There are other ways of determining an injury.
Mm-hmm. So in those instances, if somebody's in a car accident, you know, because I was always told that if you get hit in the back and you're the driver in the front, you know, there's no fault of yours if somebody hits you in the back. Are there cases that actually where people, you know, hit you from the back and still win a case? Like maybe if that person stops suddenly or inappropriately. I mean, I know the driving law is to be, you know, if you're doing 60 miles an hour, it's six car lengths behind. How do you prove all that? You know, like, because I've been in situations where I literally almost slammed behind someone because they put the brakes on and, you know, going 55 miles an hour. And, you know, although I had enough stopping distance, I still almost hit them.
Mm-hmm. Well, rule of thumb is you're going to be at fault. You definitely need to have a safe distance. And if they have to stop again, stop short. It depends on what the reason is. Somebody could have been crossing the street, an animal, a person. Anything could have happened. So it's not their fault either. But there have been one or two instances where actually the person that was in the in the front wasn't at fault, but they are so rare and it's almost impossible, very difficult at least to prove otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about client expectations and what clients can expect when they retain you in the firm when on a case.
Well, they could expect to always have any of the attorneys at the office respond to them immediately, answer any question, be available all the time. We don't hand off the file to a secretary and just say deal with the secretary from now on. The attorneys are always, always, always available to the clients. And, you know, listen, lawyers, especially, you know, in these parts, are on every corner. You can go to any lawyer. Most lawyers are going to do a similar job. So we have to stand out. How do we stand out? Customer service.
Right.
We're going to put our best efforts. And listen, the more money we collect for the client, the more money we make as well. And like I said, this is a family affair at this point. So it's reputation. It's being in the neighborhood, knowing everybody around here. Most of our business is just referrals by other clients. And that's how we've been doing it for all these years. And I don't think we're ever going to change that. We're not going to take out massive billboards and just put our name just to get more and more clients that we are not going to, you know, attend to all their needs.
Right. No, and it's a great, great point. Talk about setting expectations with clients from day one. Some of these cases, no matter how cut and dry they seem, are going to last, not some of them, but most of them, if not all, mm-hmm. are going to last a year, 2 years in the process. And sitting down and talking to the client and giving them the ebbs and flows of a case so they are able to not be their worst enemy. Talk about that.
Well, we don't give them any false expectations up front. We do sit with them. We explain to them that these cases do take a long time, that they do have to have injuries, obviously, to be able to collect that. That don't expect it. You know, the first question I always get is, how much is my case worth?
Right.
And there are attorneys that will tell you, I'm going to get you X amount of dollars. Now, any attorney that tells you that up front without even knowing what the policy limit is, without knowing what your injury is, is clearly
it's misleading.
I don't want to say lying to you, but, you know.
Very misleading.
Is basically just trying to get the case.
Right.
I've never in my life, and I never will, tell somebody how much to expect on any case. I don't know what the policy limit is. I don't know what your injury is yet. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to get for you is the most possible amount that I can get. That's what I'm going to get for you. But I can't give you a number. So I really, really do not give them any false expectations whatsoever. I have to be realistic with them because whatever I tell them is going to come back to haunt me, you know, a year or two or three down the line.
And that's the sign of a good attorney and a good firm. Being realistic.
And if I lose out, I lose out. So be it.
Absolutely.
Right. I think you go into that, you know, just kind of knowing that you're going to give it your all. You believe in the case. You vetted it appropriately. And then there's always that chance that you may not be successful, but you bet on yourself. And, you know, I heard that you're a pretty good lawyer there, Abe, and that, you know, your winnage percenting is very big.
Well, I mean, obviously your reputation speaks for itself, and so does the firm's.
Thank you. I think I'm a good lawyer.
You can say it. Abe, you can say it.
Listen, we're not humble around here. We say it, you know, right?
All right.
Now, having said that, Abe.
I'll say it. I'm not going to tell you I'm the best, but it's kind of like that Michael Jordan, LeBron James like discussion.
I like that.
Arguable, I don't know.
I like that. That's right. You know, having said that, you know, it's also important for the client to kind of, you know, you're creating a relationship that for the client to be honest and upfront with, you know, with their attorney. It just came to mind. I don't know why I was thinking about it, but. You know, as an attorney, you need to have all the facts as well, right? In other words, I had a conversation. I was watching that movie last night. The Hustle, with all the basketball player, and the basketball player didn't tell his agent,
right.
That he had an assault on his record. How important is it, and how, you know, painful is it when somebody doesn't, you know, obviously a client doesn't give you all the information you need and you find it out
surprise,
the road. Yeah. It was the Adam Sandler movie. But by the way, we had Brett Cronenberger, who was an extra in that. He's an engineer at the station. But anyway, that's what happened in the movie. Talk about that.
Yes, I did see the movie and it was a good movie.
Very cool.
It is devastating, and that's why we ask the client. We have, you know, a very in-depth intake about everything in their past, including, especially when it relates to personal injury. I mean, I do other areas of law, but especially with personal injury, about prior accidents, prior injuries, prior surgeries. And once in a while, you will have a client that either, you know, forgets to tell you, doesn't tell you for whatever reason. I don't know. And it is kind of devastating as the case starts to untangle, so to speak, because you do get prior medical records. The insurance company actually always requests them. You do find out whether they were involved in a prior accident. You do find out if they have MRIs. And that does not go well when you answer interrogatories or you're sitting in a deposition and something comes up when, you know, unexpectedly. Definitely, it's always important to be upfront because there's always a way to navigate and maneuver and use it or not use it to your advantage. But if you fail to, you know, to let us know, that could be devastating to the case.
And social media is not anybody's friend either, is it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. And insurance companies do have the right to ask you for your password, and they can go in and take a look at all your pictures. So if you say, I'm restricted because of my injury of doing, you know, A, B, or C, and all of a sudden you're posting pictures. Yep,
yeah, I've seen a lot of people.
Yeah.
Get hurt with
You know what's interesting about that? Even if it's like at a wedding, and you've had a hard time on you know, obviously with your health because of your accident, and you end up, you know, giving it a shot. You know what I mean? And even if you're in massive pain, obviously that's going to be used against you.
Mm-hmm.
Having
Absolutely.
Said that, if you would, Abe, just. You know, kind of if you would lay out what personal injury is and what you represent, the types of cases that you represent, first in the personal injury area.
Personal injury cases, basically we handle any type of motor vehicle accident, whether it's car, truck, motorcycle. We handle pedestrian cases, so if you're struck while you're walking by a vehicle, dog bite cases, which have kind of gone up a lot lately for some apparent reason, maybe due to COVID, a lot of people have adopted dogs and letting them loose, who knows. And any other type of injury, slip and fall, if you know, happen to be at somebody's property and there was a defect at the property and you injure yourself due to that.
Slip and falls are difficult, right? I mean, because the way I always see it, or not that I always see it, I mean, there are some really legitimate slip and falls. Then there's this other little portion of them that, you know, is difficult to prove that there's any liability, if it's premise liability or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the area of the most fabrication for a client. Am I right on that, or is that something, you know, like you can't deny a car accident. I mean, there's bodily harm, there's, you know, a broken car, whatever it is, but personal injury, like slip and falls, I mean, obviously there's diagnostic testing to confirm, but
what comprises
what is that? Like how does
what
that
comprises a slip and fall
that, case, you know, like an case, actual
a case,
case,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. More often than not, the slip and falls with injuries happen in department stores, supermarkets. There's either something that spills on the ground that nobody cleans up, and then, you know, next person walking by will slip and...
You know, I'm never lucky enough to get that.
I'll tell you, it's interesting you say that. Because
I try to make myself fall all the time.
I had to run to the... My wife had me go up to one of the food markets. I'll never forget this. It was a tragic situation. It was... There was a family that came in. Obviously, there was an issue with the child. The child was like 14. It was a big kid. And obviously, there was some emotional situations going on there. He was running around knocking liquids off the shelves. I'm telling you, he left a trail.
Wow.
And that they couldn't even keep up with him.
Wow.
Like, I got to the one aisle. And they literally left before anybody could even. And he obviously had some emotional issues, so obviously that's a shame. Mm-hmm. But I was watching, and of course I have some knowledge on slip or trip and falls. And I thought to myself, and they got on it quick, but I don't think they had enough personnel to get around that store. Mm-hmm. This kid just went on a rampage.
Yeah.
Are we talking about situations? You know, I obviously they jumped.
It's a behavioral issue. It's something that, you know, if the parents are able to control it.
They left that store. Nobody could find them.
Yeah.
I felt bad for the parents. Although at the end of the day, are we talking about potential, like if a liquid's on you know, in a grocery store or a big chain store and somebody falls and gets injured, is that, and what are, in situations where there is, like the one I described, like I know when somebody's walking and it's an ice storm or something, there has to be a specific amount of, at least in PA, a certain amount of hours that, you know, they have to actually clean it up. But are there stipulations where, as like Marla said, you know, where, you know, somebody, you know, might fall, but it's and even if they got hurt because of liquid, that there has to be a reasonable time for the establishment to clean it up. What are the stipulations there?
Well, you're absolutely right. So it is similar to a slip and fall due to ice or snow, in the sense that the store has to basically be negligent in not cleaning up. So, you know, if I'm walking in front of you in the store and I spill something, and 4 seconds later somebody that's, you know, in the aisle behind me doesn't see it and slips and falls, the store really isn't at fault there, because they didn't have enough time to clean up. They didn't miss any protocols. Some stores have certain protocols where somebody goes around the aisles every hour, every half hour, or there's a maintenance company or whatnot. So there has to be, there is a sense of reasonableness in the law.
Right.
So it's not always cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is exceptions to the rule of, like, it's not hitting the jackpot, like, all right, somebody spilled something and I fell.
It's got to be reasonable. They have to have a reasonable opportunity. So I want to kind of go over the list.
And
go ahead.
Maybe you should have seen it. What if you're walking, you clearly see it, and you decide, I'm still going to, well, then you're at fault at this point. Now the liability shifts back to you. Additionally, every supermarket, every department store, every place has cameras.
Yeah.
So, you know, they keep tabs on all these things. They know what's going on. Case in point, goes back to even that honesty part with clients. I had a case against the big, you know, national store. The woman said she slipped and fell on liquid. Great. Start the case. Later on, I get the video from the department store. You know, she circled back and forth where that soap was, pointed to it, went back, came back, and then slipped and fell, hurt her knee. Yeah, it didn't look great to me, so I had to drop her case.
Right.
So, you know, there are always cameras watching.
Right. And that's got to be an awkward conversation, right? I mean, you know, when somebody comes to you, I'm sure they take it personal that, you know, you don't want to take on their case. And I'm sure you give them a great explanation. And maybe for some people, that's understandable. But other people, I'm sure, sort of want to retaliate on you personally, or, you know, maybe even just a Google review or something, or just say to your face, you know, how do you handle that? I mean, do people really get mad?
Once in a while, yes, they do get mad. And usually you still have to keep your cool, and you have to explain it to them, and you have to let them know that basically, just because I don't want your case, it doesn't mean another attorney won't take your case.
Right.
Plenty of attorneys. Right. This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to, it is a little delicate, but just let them know. Go consult with somebody else. This is just my opinion only.
Yeah. I'm sure you handle that.
Perfect. Yeah. Real quick, Marla, obviously, you know, this program's sponsored by Synergy Pharmacy, and you guys do a phenomenal job, you know, representing servicing clients like the ones we're talking about. Tell our listeners a little bit about Synergy Pharmacy, if you will, while we got a couple minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have actually a lot in common, Abe, you know, as far as taking risks and things like that to service clients. You know, our goal is to get them better, you know, working with the physicians and also the attorney to get the client what they need, to recover what they need to recover, and also bring them back to wellness and out of pain and recovery for their injuries. So our job is to supply the medication, because we exist because retail stores drop the ball. You know, particularly on the New Jersey side in personal injury, they're not very ready to do prior authorizations and to flow prescriptions out knowing that they're not going to get paid, you know, to bill the PIP or to go to arbitration or any of that. And patients go without their medications. And I've spoken to so many different attorneys that maybe that information didn't even get back to them, that they were having a difficult time getting their medications, you know, and the same thing with the doctors. So we exist because of that problem. And it's great for us to have that opportunity to sort of step up and give the clients what they need. We also are at risk. You know, we win some, we lose some. You know, when the insurance company doesn't pay us as well, we go through that, you know, cost and monthly cost of prescriptions, getting them out to the patients, the shipping and all
and
that.
So there's no out-of-pocket cost to the client as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% benefit to the client.
And the fact is, you know, when somebody gets injured in a car accident or at work or whatever, fact is, a lot of it, like we talked about, the chain pharmacies regular pharmacies will not service those clients.
Right. They're too big. They're too big. And it's a, you know, it's a shift type of situation too at CVS. You're not going to get the same person on Monday that you're going to get on Tuesday. You know, in our pharmacy, we're a smaller family business. And, you know, that is our strength, is that we know these patients. We become, you know, familiar with them and the law firms. So no out-of-pocket costs for the patients. We don't bill them regardless of what happens in the case.
And that could be right after an accident, right?
Yeah, we hope. You know, we want to help them out immediately. A lot of times when people come out of the ER or in urgent care, they're not really directed what to do next.
Right.
You know, so we help them out, you know, in more ways. And that's all we do. So that's our specialty. New Jersey PI, we do Pennsylvania workers' comp. Again, never bill the patient, and the medications get shipped right to the house without interruption of care. So that's huge, right?
Absolutely.
Get these patients better, and, you know, it keeps the credibility of their case.
Not to mention when they're in massive pain right after an accident or something like that, and they can't get medications.
Well, that's it. They can't get medicine. And when I said it hurts the credibility of the case, I mean just that. If you're, you know, a judge looking at this and you're saying, well, you know, they were in so much pain, they didn't even take their medications for pain. Well, if they can't get them, how is that possible, you know?
Absolutely. Well, appreciate that. And having said that, I want to, you know, so we got a couple. What do we got, 2 minutes left? Yeah, definitely. Abe, for, you know, fantastic segment. And what I'd like to do is give you, obviously, about 30, 40 seconds and give us the contact information for yourself and at the firm, should somebody get in a, you know, accident, some, you know, any situation where they're injured at the negligence of another individual, and if you will just repeat again the specialties that you guys have.
Absolutely. First, I want to thank you guys for having me. This was very enjoyable.
Right back at you.
Secondly, I want to thank Marla and Synergy for what they do on behalf of all personal injury attorneys.
Thank you very much
because you guys do help attorneys and you do help, more importantly, the clients, the patients. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Abe.
And thirdly, you know the saying of, you know, somebody has a face for radio.
Yeah.
I have to apologize to everyone for my voice because I have a voice for, like, silent movies or the mute button.
Honestly, you're fantastic.
You're awesome. You're awesome. Listen, we know it's a long trip down here to Philly, so, you know, we're just happy to have you.
Absolutely.
In any way, shape, or form.
And we do appreciate your patience also, because we had some technical difficulties. That's putting it easy. Not at the station, but, you know. So, but we appreciate
things
that.
Things happen, right?
Things
happen, but thank you. So my information is, my name is Abe, A-B-E, Jaludi, J-A-L-O-U-D-I, and the firm is Jaludi & Associates. You can look us up. We have a website. We are jaludilaw.com, J-A-L-O-U-D-I-L-A-W.com. We are located in Clifton, New Jersey. Phone number 973-928-4000.
Basically, we do
mostly personal injury cases, criminal matters, and real estate transactions. We have a number of attorneys. A lot of them are my family members, two of my nephews.
I love that. That's really cool.
One family affair.
Yep. And then a bunch of other associates.
Imagine that holiday
here
table.
To help, and you could always reach us. You could always reach us on our cell phones. We give it out to clients all the time, and you know, we're just here to try and help as much as we can.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, listen, we want to thank Abe Jaluti, a fantastic law firm who does a fantastic job. He's the principal and founder at Jaluti Law, Clifton, New Jersey. They do a great job across the board. Also, we want to thank Synergy Pharmacy for being our sponsor and for making all this happen. And of course, the hostess with the mostess, Marla Vitarello. Fantastic job, Marla.
Oh, thanks, Joe. And thanks, Abe, so much for coming on today.
You got it. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. We thank TJ for making it happen here at the studio. On behalf of everyone on the panel, on behalf of Synergy Pharmacy, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Suffering a work injury or a personal injury can be a very traumatizing experience, particularly when your local pharmacy refuses to fill your prescriptions. This won't happen with Synergy Pharmacy. Synergy Pharmacy is a workers' compensation and personal injury pharmacy focused on providing high-quality physician-prescribed medications to injured individuals, even if the case is in litigation. Synergy Pharmacy works on behalf of their clients to get their medications quickly processed and delivered directly to their homes within 24 to 48 hours, and there are no out-of-pocket costs to the patient. Synergy Pharmacy is a family-owned pharmacy that cares about injured workers and those suffering from personal injuries such as motor vehicles or other types of injuries. At Synergy Pharmacy, the patient comes first. That's Synergy Pharmacy at www.synergyscripts.com. That's synergyscripts.com. Call 484-328-4700.